If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Tudor Dixon podcast. Well, we are all closely watching the border right now because it's one of the top issues in the country. Of course, just last week we had the State of the Union address and Joe Biden came out and really didn't address the situation with illegal immigrants in the country hurting people until Marjorie Taylor Greene yelled out the name of Lake. Well, what happened in the days after the State of the Union, I think, was the most shocking because people were already disturbed that he couldn't call out Lake and Riley and talk to her family. He's never called the family. He's never talked to them. He's never told them he's sorry for what happened. This is someone who came across the border on his watch while he was president, was convicted or at least committed crimes, was let go because of Biden's border policies. And instead of coming out and saying, hey, you know what, I really should have taken time in this speech to address the Riley family and taken time to actually say, we're sorry for what happened. He was asked by a radical reporter, you said illegal. And he immediately said, oh, undocumented. They're undocumented. I don't want to disrespect anyone. I think in that moment, so many people across the country just had like this audible gasp. How could you apologize to a murderer? I mean, illegal crimes, illegal border crossing, illegally murdering someone. There's illegal there in so many different ways. And yet he's like, oh, didn't want to disrespect anyone. And I really thought this was a moment for the country to say, who is this guy? Like, who is he for? If you're not for the citizens of the United States of America, who are you for? Well, my guest today is here to talk about that and other things that are going on in the state of Arizona, which I always say every state is a border state. Arizona is definitely a border state, feels it every day. We are so excited to have Mark Lamb with us. He is the sheriff of Pinal County, Arizona, and is currently running for the U.S. Senate. Mark, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me on, Tudor. I appreciate it. This is a great opportunity, so thank you.
Well, you heard me talking a little bit about what we saw last week with the State of the Union. I mean, I appreciate you being here with us today because I can't imagine what it's like being on the border every day, seeing these people coming across that are oftentimes on the terror watch list, that you know many of them are coming over here for nefarious reasons. Some of them have also suffered terrible abuse along the way. It's a combination of really bad things. I mean, no matter how, which way you look at it, people are either abused or people are coming over because they're bad people. There is no control of our southern border. What do you think of the president's remarks?
Well, first of all, Tudor, there's nothing good that comes from open borders. You know, you hear the left oftentimes say, well, it's humane to have an open border, and there's nothing humane about it. And I can go on all the reasons why it's not humane in a second. But I was very, very Well, I think I expected that type of State of the Union. You know, it was very partisan. Mm-hmm. It was very angry. He waited 40 minutes before he actually talked about the border. He talked about Snickers bars and he talked about the amount of chips in a bag and he talked about the fees you pay on your ticket master ticket. Those are all the things he talked about before he talked about the border. And not until Marjorie Taylor Greene kind of put him on the spot. And then he jumped into it, but then he messed it up because he let the truthful part come out when he called them illegals. Right. And then all the left lost their mind. Kamala Harris, you could see her face. She was cringing as he says illegals, but he was right. You know, and he knows they're illegals, but you know, this is all part of their plan. And it's very disappointing to see because we're the victims of it as Americans. We're the victims of it here in Arizona. Like you said, every state has become a border state from everybody that they're letting across. And one more thing about how this has changed for decades. We've been dealing with this. And you'll hear people say, oh, this has been going on for decades. That's right. It has. But this is very different. What we've dealt with in the past is predominantly people from Mexico, some from Guatemala, maybe some from Central America. That's not what this is now. This is predominantly military age men. The bar graph has completely flipped upside down. And now nearly all of them are coming from other countries, 170 countries to be exact, from places like Africa, from Sudan, from Mauritania, let me turn off my radio here so it doesn't go off in the background, from Mauritania, from Ukraine, from Russia, from China. 37,000 Chinese nationals last year, mostly military age men. This year, we've already up to over 20,000. We'll probably go almost double what we were last year, from 450 people in 2021. So that's the change that's existed, Tudor. And like you mentioned, there's all these, potential terrorists that are coming in. There's the terrorists we're catching. There's the criminals we're catching and the criminals we're not. And then, like I talked to the FBI, they said, this isn't even what concerns us. What concerns us is the secondary and the tertiary people, the people that are not on the terrorist watches, but are more than willing to do the terrorist bidding.
Hmm. And you mentioned that every state is a border state, and we're obviously talking about Arizona, but I just want to remind the audience here that Lakin Riley was in Georgia. And the really sad thing about this situation is here's a family that is suffering. And I have four daughters myself. And I think about this and I think it's your worst nightmare. It's your worst nightmare to have this happen, but not just to have this happen, then to have everyone in the country fighting over this when it is your daughter's life, when it is your family and it's happening to your family. And I can't imagine in this moment them not having the privacy that they deserve. But they don't because of the ridiculous policies of Joe Biden. And he comes out and he says, well, it's not me, it's the Republicans. So you want to go in there and you want to change things up in the Senate. What do you think when you hear him say, well, I can't do anything about it?
Well, that's a lie. He can do something about it. And he doesn't need a border bill. He doesn't need any bill to be able to do what he needs to do to fix the border. Under the Immigration and Naturalization Act 212F, he has sweeping authority to be able to do whatever he needs to do to protect our southern border. Look, these are the same power he used to undo all of President Trump's policies that were working. He undid them overnight. And now he can use that same authority to reinstitute a lot of those same policies and the policies that will work. If he says he knows what to do to shut down the border, then do it. You don't need another bill. You don't need more money. That's a lie.
What about we talk all the time about how this is affecting people right there on the border. There's actually a Native American reservation right there. We hear a lot of times about these people's farms, their ranches, but this is a Native American reservation where there's no border wall. How do those folks protect themselves if they have not even a wall between them and whatever is coming across that border? Like you just said, it could be terrorists. It could be anyone.
So just so people know, I am not on the border. I am one county off. I'm 50 miles off the border where that Indian reservation is. And under President Trump, we actually would have more apprehensions in our county than they were in the border counties during that time, because the people would come through the desert, because there is no wall down there. There is maybe a barbed wire fence, or maybe some Normandy barrier or some other bars of steel, but it's not a fence by any stretch of the imagination. And so that is some of the stuff that we deal with. They just come right over. And a lot of those folks that live within that community also help the cartels. They get paid by the cartels. And so it makes it extremely difficult. And frankly, it's a very sparsely populated Native American community. So there's lots of small little villages, but there's plenty of spaces where these folks can come in this country and traverse the desert for a few days and end up in a county like mine, which is where they'll end up. When they come out of the desert, they'll end up in my county, and then we deal with them at that point. So yeah, it's frustrating. It's frustrating for them. Even those folks are becoming overwhelmed with it, and they're starting to complain about it, because this is a real problem. And one more thing about the Lake and Riley being in Georgia. The majority of the people that come across here, if I were to line up 20 people that come across and ask them where they're going, Arizona will not be one of their you know, not one of them will say Arizona. Every single one of them will mention a different state outside of Arizona. So this is, we're the jumping off point. We deal with the initial jumping off of all the human trafficking, of all the drug trafficking, but it doesn't stay in Arizona. The majority of it ends up in states like yours or different states across this country. That's where they want to go, because that's where it's far away from Border Patrol. It's far away from ICE. And it is, in a lot of them go to these sanctuary cities.
That's why I think this is so key when people are looking at who they elect. Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll continue next on the Tudor Dixon podcast.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year. Equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Even if they're like, oh, gosh, we're in Michigan. You know, this is not a border state. It could happen. What happened at Georgia could happen at the University of Michigan. It could happen at the University of Wisconsin. It can happen anywhere because these folks are traveling. They're not staying right there across the border waiting to be picked up. They're not just like, hey, we'll just hang out right here. They're coming into the United States. And these sometimes are gang members. You have experience with gang members. What is it? I mean, for those of us who don't have that daily experience, and for those people out there who hear about these folks coming across, and for every person that's coming across genuinely to come across and get a good job, there are still people out there who are gang members who are coming across for bad reasons. Tell us a little bit about what the mentality of some of these gang members is that are coming across.
Well, their mentality is to take advantage of a situation that our government has created, whether it's the welfare programs that exist in this country, whether it's the fact that this government has shown complete indifference to Americans, to homeless veterans, to us. They don't want to take our tax dollars and use it to help our homeless veterans and our homeless people. They want to take those tax dollars and benefit illegals, people that came into this country illegally or that made false asylum claims, which, by the way, everybody who comes from Mexico over the border, anybody who came from the country of Mexico, crossed over our border into Arizona or into Texas, is here and makes an asylum claim. That's an illegal asylum claim because they should have made the asylum claim in the first country they got to, which would have either been Mexico or one of the other five countries they came through before they got here. So all of those things coming in here are set up. We're setting ourselves up for gangs, and these Chilean gangs now are not only in Michigan. I talked to the sheriff out in Oakland County, Michigan, outside of Detroit. He was telling us about these Chilean gangs, Venezuelan gangs doing home break-ins. We're having the same problem out here in Arizona. Many of these folks are very, very violent and have no regard for human life. The MS-13, the Chilean gangs, and we have to deal with this. And we just cringe to know that these folks are filtering in throughout America, and they're going to commit crimes on other American citizens. We take that very serious, which is why we work hard every day. And, you know, there's a lot of people that say, well, Sheriff, you know, there's a lot of good people, and you kind of hit on it. There's a lot of good people trying to come into this country. As a matter of fact, I had a congresswoman out of Washington tell me that one day. And I said, ma'am, you're right. There are a lot of good people coming here, but let me pose an example to you. If I were to have 10 people that come into this country, five good, five bad, would you let me put them in your house if I couldn't tell you which ones are bad? And she was just quiet. And I said, you're quiet because you know the answer is no. But let me take it a step further. Let me tell you, let's say I had 10 people. One of them was bad. He was a sex offender, but I couldn't tell you which one he was. Would you let me put them in your house? And she's quiet again. And I said, you're quiet because you know the answer is no. Well, let me tell you what my job as a sheriff is. If I have to stop nine good people to stop one bad person, that's my job. That is what the people expect me to do. And you know why I'm okay with that? Because we have a legal process in place for the good people to come into this country. And here's one more thing, Congresswoman. Those good people, they broke the law. And every day I have good Americans who make mistakes and break the law, and we have to hold them accountable. And we should hold those people accountable as well, because they, whether they're good or not, last time I looked in the law, it didn't say don't hold them accountable if they're good people. It says if you come into this country illegally, that's a crime, and that's what we should be holding them accountable for.
You know, I remember years ago there was a story, and I think this is probably a common story, of someone who was in the United States, then sent their child to meet them, sent their child on this months-long journey alone. And we're talking about children that are three and under, alone. And then somebody is supposed to magically find the parent in the United States when they get here and reunite them. And this was like, the story at the time was Democrats saying, gosh, what a beautiful story of a family trying to reunite. And I remember at the time people going, well, wait a minute, in the United States, if you do this, you get your child taken away and you get hauled off to jail for child endangerment. Why do we feel differently, or why is there a message that we should feel differently about people who put their children in danger when it's to come across the border? I mean, I cannot imagine taking my child with me, but those folks that are sending a child alone, how can we not take that more seriously?
Well, we should. I mean, look, I don't even hear it enough talked about. We have about 150,000 unaccompanied minors that come into this country every year. And, you know, the left wants to paint this story like you just did of this child being reunited with their families. No, many of these children have been stolen by the cartels. Many of these children have been sold by their families to the cartels. Many of these children are being used as pawns and raped. And the whole intention of bringing these children into this country is for hard labor or the sex trade. We have had, you know, Dr. Phil was recently talking about this because the government has admitted they don't know where about 100,000 of those kids have gone. Dr. Phil looked into it. Other people have looked into it. Most of them are going to the same address in the same different states, which obviously is a trafficking house. And now these children are in the wind and they're being put into hard labor. They're put into the sex trade. And, you know, he was on The View telling them this. And one of the ladies on The View had the gall to say, she goes, well, you know, is it all of them or some of them? It's like, if it's one of them, it's a problem.
Yeah. Are we some of them?
No. Our moral compass is broken, and people will put politics in front of people. The left puts politics in front of people, and they pretend care.
You bring up a good point, because earlier you brought up Oakland County, Michigan, and I want to go back to that for a second, because Oakland County got very little press, but they did have these gangs, these Chilean gangs coming in, breaking into homes, putting people in danger, stealing things. I mean, mass chaos in a county right here in the state of Michigan, which people don't naturally expect border problems to come to the state of Michigan. But as we said, every state is a border state. Now, just over the weekend, we had a state rep. Her name is Betsy Coffia. She lives up in northern Michigan. And when the president came out and said this thing about, I didn't want to disrespect the murderer of Lakin Riley and call him an illegal, he's undocumented, she posted that on X and said, thank you. Now, let me clarify exactly or bring you into the whole picture here. There is a group called We the People here in the state of Michigan. It is a C4 organization that paid her to run for office. First of all, while she was running for office, she was paid by this organization to run. They brought a bunch of illegals together. They did all of the ground game for the campaign, door to door, printed the paperwork, took it out. They prided themselves. They even published articles saying, we got this woman elected on the backs of illegal aliens because she is going to get them driver's licenses. This woman then cheers on the idea of not calling a murderous animal an illegal while her own state suffers from Chilean gangs coming in across the border and attacking people, robbing them, attacking them in their own homes. Why do people keep electing these people who are willing to put their own constituents in terrible danger?
It's a great question, Tudor. And this is what I think most Americans are waking up to now, because we've been asleep at the wheel and we're lulled to sleep by words like we the people. That I'm disgusted that they would use those three words.
We the people run by illegal aliens.
Right. We the people is the opposite of what they are doing. We the people is a movement of patriots trying to protect God, family, freedom in this country and the American way of life. And she's out there abusing. These folks are abusing it. And then really what she's doing is aiding and abetting in the trafficking of human beings when you take that kind of approach. And, you know, look, we had a lady that we caught about a year ago, and she had a baggie full of pills. We caught her out in the desert. And she had a baggie full of pills, like 50 pills. And we said, hey, what are these pills? And she says, well, when I was going to cross the border, I knew I'd be raped multiple times. These are morning after pills. I mean, where did we get as a country to where we put politics in front of people? And the left wants to pretend like they're doing this humane thing. And I told you at the beginning, this is the most inhumane thing, whether it's the lady we pulled out of the mountains that the cartels left for dead the other day. She died, by the way. She was a dead body we pulled out that they left for dead. We go out every day. We saved two people yesterday in our helicopter that the cartels left for dead. We have the humans, or the Americans that are dying from fentanyl poisonings and destroying American lives, even if they don't die, they're destroying American families and lives. We have children being abused. We have children being raped. We have children being placed into slavery in this country. We have women and men being extorted. We have women being raped. We have men being extorted to the point where they owe the cartels. They're put into hard labor. Slavery is, I would say, has never been more proficient in this country, more at its peak than it is now. What part of this is humane? Not to mention the Americans who have been completely left in the rearview mirror by this administration, and all of our tax dollars going to not just soften the blow, but truly just really give these people everything they want and need, to where they don't even come in here and work. They're just coming here and collecting our tax dollars, living in fancy hotels, having food every day, having all of their needs met, while the rest of us go out and bust our butts every day, only to have our checks taxed and those taxes taken and given to people that came into this country illegally.
Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll continue next on the Tudor Dixon podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024, and we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you, here on Next Question, it's going to be a good time the whole time, we hope. I have some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun.
And I can't wait for you to hear it. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And I think people need to understand that what you're talking about, when you're talking about these people coming in and staying in a fancy hotel, I mean, they're staying there for months. Some of these people have been there for nearly a year. They're getting all of that paid for. I mean, imagine all of your taxpayer dollars are going to fund someone staying in a hotel. And oftentimes these hotels are just being completely trashed because, you know, if there's no personal ownership over renting or paying for a room, then you don't seem like you need to take care of that room. I'm not saying everybody is like that, but there is a significant amount of these hotel rooms that are being completely trashed. They're getting their own food. Let's go to California, for example. You have people getting health care. You have illegal immigrants crossing the border, immediately getting health care. I mean, that to me is just a dog whistle. Come and make sure you get everything you need, all of your needs taken care of. The most disturbing thing, I think, to me is the fact that people can come there and have some sort of a sex change surgery. And the reason this is disturbing to me is not because I care about whether or not people want to change their gender. It's because I think it is a great way for people who want to hurt this country to change their identity, to do something and then have that paid for so that, their face is altered. They can go in there and say, oh, I just want to look more feminine, something. Then they cannot be tracked. I mean, to me, it is so scary that California would pay to change the identity of people who can come in here and commit crimes. What in the world? How did we get here?
Yeah, this is what that's California, first of all. So if you're trying to understand California, you're probably the wrong person to try to understand it. They're so far left. They're so far lost their mind. It's not even funny, Tudor. And this is part of it. They give healthcare to illegal aliens. Government paying for sex changes is absolutely inappropriate in all senses of the, in any imagination that anybody could have, especially with children. That's no different than government paying to baptize people who want to change their lives and become Christians. The left would never, never, ever tolerate, nor would I. Why? Because that's not a government, that's not a function of government. Funds from taxpayer dollars should not be used for those types of things. Social ideologies, that should not be what we use our tax dollars for. And California, well, and
you bring that up. You brought up faith. You have worked in a church. You've been, but this is not in the United States. So for people who are going, okay, Sheriff Lamb, what do you know about being in the Senate? How could you possibly deal with these not only national issues, but issues on the world stage? Explain a little bit about your experience in, I mean, you've lived in South America. You've lived in some of these areas. Explain to people what you've seen, because I think sometimes people get the impression, well, you just have a hatred for these people, but no, you don't. You've loved them. You've lived with them.
No, I actually consider myself more in line with them. I spent majority of my life, my formative years in other places. I was born and raised as a minority in Hawaii. I know it sounds great, but being raised as a white kid in Hawaii wasn't exactly the easiest thing. You have to learn how to become tough real quick. I lived in the Philippines. I understood poverty on a whole different level, and we were not wealthy when we lived there in the Philippines, so we weren't too far above them. I've lived in Panama for many years, and I understand what the Panamanian people are and the Latin culture, the Hispanic cultures. I've lived in Argentina and literally lived with them for 2 years. Didn't live a high lifestyle. Was a missionary. Went into their homes every day. I understand these folks on a deep level, and there's a part of me that loves that culture. A big part of me loves those cultures. And so for anybody to say that is just wrong. I would expect those countries, just like I expect mine, to protect their own countries from people that shouldn't be there. Look, every time I went into those countries, I made sure that I had the appropriate visas to be able to be in their country legally and to be able to take part of their country. And I learned Spanish. I am fluent in Spanish. And anybody who says that I don't understand these things, I'm the only candidate who has had this kind of life experience living outside of the United States and understanding what it's like to deal with foreign affairs and those types of things. I was in Panama when they invaded Panama. I was stuck here. Yeah, go ahead.
Let me ask you about that, because I think one of our big concerns right now is that these countries have been taken over by China, and the CCP is heavily involved in, since I think, I think it's like from 2018 to now, the extensive takeover of China into South America, Central America, buying up corporations, taking over, becoming their biggest trading partner. This used to be the Western world, and it used to be much the United States of America. Now the United States of America and corporations here find it easier to, for some reason, build their companies over in China, I guess because they like the idea that the dictatorship does not allow you to commit crimes. You just immediately get killed or go to jail or have your arms cut off. You know, it's just different. I don't know. I can't imagine deciding to open a business over in China where I know the human rights offenses are so great and so extreme. But instead, we just left these countries wide open to Chinese influence, and they have come in and they have taken over. They've made South and Central America totally dependent on them, more so than even on the United States. How much of a national security disaster is it to have China so close, but also to have China acquiring so much more land? I mean, China needs that because they're in danger of not being able to feed their population. They don't have farmland. They don't have the ability to feed the people that they have, but they also want to amass more resources so that they can just take over energy, so that they can take over economically, so that they can rule. They want to be the superpower. How dangerous is it that we are not there in a bigger way?
Oh, it's very dangerous. I saw it long ago in Panama when Jimmy Carter started with him, when he gave back the Panama Canal. And that came to fruition in the mid-90s, right around 2000. The Americans completely left. They just left all of the military bases, all the housing, all the stuff that we had built over decades. All the tax dollars we used to build infrastructure there was just turned over. Unfortunately, the Chinese came in, and then over the last two decades in Panama have really sunk their teeth into that economy, into the canal, which is a very strategic piece, which was why we controlled it in the first place. So that's a problem. I saw it in Afghanistan. Now you see that Joe Biden's failure of an exit out of there costing us American lives, costing a lot of Afghani lives. They left, and now China swooped in and taking control of a lot of the resources, very valuable resources for products that we use on a daily basis here in America. They took advantage of that and swooped in and picked up a lot of that. And this is what's happening all over. And we're just, I don't know. I don't know what our government's doing. I mean, look, I can't do much worse. I can't do any worse than these people are doing on foreign affairs and on all that stuff. Frankly, I think we need some common sense people back in Washington, D.C., because the people that supposedly know all of these things and have experience in foreign affairs are absolutely driving our country into the ground and putting us in last place. Our friends don't respect us and our enemies don't fear us anymore. And that's a real problem.
I think there's so few people that can actually talk about this. I mean, when we talked about Afghanistan, everybody's like, end endless wars and get out. I think that there's a misunderstanding of what having soldiers on the ground to make sure that the United States is protected, like you said, to make sure that China isn't coming in and taking over. I think it's hard for people to explain that to the American people without them saying, you just want to force our soldiers to be over there. But Panama, Afghanistan, I mean, even the Middle East, what are we doing with Israel right now? All of these things, the strategy behind it is not to just pour money into other countries. It is to protect the United States of America. But people seem to forget that you can't live in a bubble, that America is not safe unless we have a strong presence on the world stage. And right now, we don't have a strong presence on the world stage, whether it is actually on land or just our president coming out and being strong. No one thinks he's strong. This waffling that he's done on the Middle East has been absolutely catastrophic, and it's all for votes. Things have become so political. I mean, it's just like this, the moron up in Northern Michigan who is thankful that we call somebody a undocumented person instead of illegal when they've gone out and murdered people. I mean, I'm like, what in the world is happening? The people have become so political. They're just complete idiots. And that's where we are right now. So I have to say, I appreciate having someone that has spent time in other areas of the world who understands it. To me, it's so important that people have at least either worked or spent time in other parts of the world to have a not only an understanding, but a grace and respect for other cultures and an understanding of what we can provide and when we need to step away. But there are so few people right now that are out there running for office that can say that they have that experience. And I appreciate that from you. Before we let you go today, can you just tell people if they want to give to you, if they want to learn more about you, where they can go, what's your website?
Yeah, and Tudor, thank you for the kind words. Yes, I'm running for the U.S. Senate here in Arizona, and if you don't think that matters to you out in Michigan or wherever you are, you're wrong, because as a senator, I vote for things that affect all 50 states. So you really do want to have good senators from Arizona or from whatever state, because we want to make sure that the people who are in Washington, D.C. are voting for good things that affect all of us as the 50 states. So please come support me at sheriffflam.com. You can donate a few dollars. You can, if you live in Arizona, you can sign my petition, which that'll be for the next few weeks, and then we'll turn in our petitions. We're going to be on the ballot. We're doing well. The media doesn't like to talk about us, but that's okay. They're not dropping bombs on us either. And what we're doing on the ground is a lot of great grassroots work, and it's going great. And we're going to take this Senate back here in Arizona. So please come support us on social media. It's American Sheriff on Instagram, Sheriff Lamb on Facebook, Sheriff Lamb 1 on Twitter. So please come check us out on all those places. And thank you so much for having me on, Tudor. I could talk about these things all day long. So I appreciate you having me on.
Well, I appreciate you coming on, and I'm glad we got to talk about a wide range of topics, because I think it's important. I think when you're running for office, it's so hard to get out who you really are and have people really understand what you've done. So I appreciate you coming on and spending a half an hour with us to tell everybody exactly why you're doing this. And I know how hard it is to run for office. So thank you.
Well, thank you. And God bless you, and God bless your family.
Thank you. And thank you all for joining us on the Tudor Dixon Podcast. For this episode and others, go to TudorDixonPodcast.com. You can subscribe right there, or head over to the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts, and join us next time on the Tudor Dixon Podcast. Have a blessed day.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick Podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.